Galloway's, the respected people of this area.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, wassalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. When Donald Rumsfeld said on the 10th of March 2004 that it wasn't their fault that God put America's oil under other people's countries, the problem was that he meant it. And John Rees has correctly identified, cut through the fog of war propaganda to what this whole operation has been about. The biggest heist in recent times was not the theft of £53 million down in Kent. The biggest drive-by shooting, the biggest serial killer hearing voices from God was this invasion and occupation of Iraq. This is an act of colonial plunder gone wrong. They imagined, Sami Ramadan is absolutely correct, that by this time they would be holding their press conferences in a joyous Iraq. They imagined by this time that they would have looted Iraq of billions of dollars worth of its wealth. Instead, they have had to confine themselves to looting billions of dollars from the American and British taxpayers for their favorite corporations. They have not yet made a cent out of Iraq. And the reason is that the Iraqi people have risen in their millions to reject the foreign invasion and occupation of their country. And if that's called glorifying, Mr. Blair, with your new laws, let me say, I glorify the heroism of the Iraqi people who have rejected and resisted your occupation of their country. And we have, on the subject of prime ministers, a letter from 10 Downing Street to Rose Gentle, whose son gave his life's blood for the lies of Tony Blair. She wrote asking to meet him, and he answered, "Thank you for your letters about the service personnel who have died and your request for a meeting. I am afraid a meeting will not be possible." Why? You'll meet Silvio Berlusconi and frolic on holiday with him. He'll even frolic with Cliff Richard, though that's perhaps an avenue best not pursued. He'll meet with any magnate, but he won't meet the mother of one of his own soldiers whom he sent to his death. I tell you, we have a prime minister who is not just a liar and a deceiver, but he's a coward as well. A coward as well. So I could say much about what's happened in Iraq, but others have. And our main speaker, Mr. Ben, will. I just echo this point that Sami Ramadani made. Gaze upon the destruction of this 1,200-year-old shrine. Gaze upon the mountain of corpses piling higher day by day in Iraq. Gaze upon the destruction of that country, the massacre of 100,000 of its citizens, on top of 1 million who died already due to sanctions. gaze upon the fanaticism which has been attracted to Iraq. There was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. If there is Al-Qaeda in Iraq now, it's Bush and Blair who brought them there and are responsible for their being there. Gaze upon it all and then contemplate again those arguments that they were doing it all for freedom, liberty, and democracy. In the country next door to Iraq, the prison state, the kleptocratic tyranny of Saudi Arabia, they're selling weapons to the tyrants to crush freedom and democracy.
Right.
It's Sandhurst today on your taxes. You're paying to train the officers of Colonel Gaddafi's army. For what? That's the same Colonel Gaddafi, by the way, whom we said financed the IRA's campaign for decades. The same Colonel Gaddafi we said brought down the Lockerbie airliner. The same Colonel Gaddafi we said ordered the killing of a London policewoman in St. James Square. We're training his armed forces and his intelligence services. For what? For no other reason than to crush freedom and liberty and democracy in Libya. And we ask people to believe we're fighting for democracy in Iraq while we're arming and training the tyrants to crush freedom and democracy in the other Muslim countries. I could say much about it. I'll say only this. I heard Tony Blair say on the Andrew Marr program a few months ago that he'd been surprised at the ferocity, I'm quoting him, surprised at the ferocity of the opposition to the occupation in Iraq. Well, he had no reason to be surprised. I told him, man to man, personally, in the corridor of the House of Commons, outside the library, before the invasion, every single thing that has happened would happen. I told him, the Iraqis will fight you with their teeth if necessary in order to drive you out, and for as long as necessary until they have driven you out. Don't do it. Don't send young men like their sons to their deaths for George W. Bush and the oil companies and the corporations that he represents. And the mass movement of the Stop the War Coalition, millions of us marching and marching and marching, told them, don't do this, even before we knew what we know now, that it was all based on a pack of lies. And now, as John Rees says, this strutting popinjay who couldn't fight his own way out of a paper bag, who would never send his own sons into battle, is lecturing and wagging his finger against Iran, threatening them with somebody else's army, like Mussolini used to do.
Right.
This hypocrite threatening Iran for having a nuclear program when he's about to launch a new generation of nuclear program. Threatening Iran for dreaming of having one nuclear bomb when he's in possession of thousands of nuclear bombs and about to build a new generation of nuclear bombs. Well, as John Rees said, and I repeat it, Iran is not a weak, broken-backed country to be bombed and cruise-missiled at will. If Iran is attacked, she will answer. And where will she answer? She will answer where we have made her infinitely stronger than she was before, in the south of Iraq. Who is in the south of Iraq? Her son and 8,000 other young British men conscripted by high unemployment, low wages, poor prospects, low horizons, into these armed forces. 8,000 of them, a thin red line, surrounded by millions and millions of Shiite Muslims, some of them loyal to Iran, which were threatening to bomb. What will it look like? Please forgive me for saying this. It'll look like Zulu. It'll look like Rorke's Drift, but without the happy ending. And if these young men pay the blood price for Bush's plan to attack Iran, then the blood will be on the hands of our own Prime Minister and our own government and our own politicians who have made it all possible. So we have a duty to this woman and to the mothers of all the other soldiers. We have a duty to the people of Iraq and the world to be on the march on the 18th, to be there in our tens and tens of thousands. Every person here must bring 10 others, 20 others, 50 others, if we are to stop our country becoming embroiled in another, yet another disastrous war against a Muslim country at a time when relations between East and West are already in flames. This is madness. We're on the edge of another bout of madness. We have to stop it. Be on the demonstration on the 18th of March.